back. What's up, gang? And we got a special guest here, Corey. What's up? Welcome to the Throne Podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming. Because, you know, things happen, but we're going to do what we got to do. Yeah, you know how we do.
We improvise.
What's up, Sex? You looking sexy in that little red.
The big blood.
Coming hot.
Merry Christmas. Yo, if you're from New York,
what's good? So, holidays is coming. You guys in the holiday spirit? What's up?
I'm always in. As you can see, I'm in the holiday spirit. Shout out to my grandma for buying this outfit. But yeah, I'm in the holiday spirit.
I'm poor. I'm about to set the Christmas tree on fire like the nigga did it 50 days.
Yo, how mad you gotta be to set the Christmas tree on fire?
I think that was honestly some like conspiracy, like Fox 5 news type thing. Because they literally
always trying to take our mind off of what's going on.
They specifically lit the Fox 5 news tree because it's 1,000 trees in the city, and they specifically lit that
the big Rockefeller joint.
Because a lot of things happen at Fox News.
It would set his ass on fire.
He clapped him right before he was flat. Ow! What happened? So what y'all doing for Christmas usually? What you doing for Christmas, bro? Like, what's your...
Everyone's gift still at the store. I ain't doing nothing.
Damn. This is going to come out wrong.
For your mama?
I got, like, the close family some things, you know. Close family, close friends. But I'm not doing much. Keeping it calm. Staying home.
You know. You guys feel like
not
the holidays
much for the traveling anymore that like right now.
Okay, dope. Yeah. You guys feel like the holiday spirit is the same like as like, you know.
I mean, for me it is. I'm very like holiday oriented. My mother still decorates the door and the Christmas tree. This was my first year in my apartment to put up my Christmas tree by myself. So it was fun. It was exciting just to take out the little fake tree, put it together, decorate it. Then I got my baby. So I'm just happy to see. I was finished Christmas shopping on December 2nd. Like I had all his toys. His toys is already in the closet. I just got to wrap them up. Saying,
what if he opened them?
Because we got a lot of closets in my house. But I got it in the guest closet so he doesn't go in that closet. I have a lot of things there. So it's like I put them in there and I just put all the boxes over it. So even, and plus my furniture just came. So all of it's like it's still in the boxes. Okay. So it's in front of the door. So he literally cannot get in. I will kick his ass. I'm very big on Christmas. I'm just excited. And he's going to be super excited because he knows what Santa Claus is. Mm-hmm. He knows Santa. He says, Santa, bring me toys. That's all he say every day. Santa going to bring me dinosaur. Santa going to bring me this. Like, he's very happy. I got our matching pajamas. Yeah, I go see the Christmas. I'm coming on. I'm about to take him to take pictures with Santa next week.
That's fire.
Oh, that's lit.
I have a question for y'all. Do y'all feel like children should know about Santa, or they should know where exactly where the gifts come from?
My baby gonna know about Santa because if somebody tell him Santa don't exist, I'm gonna slap the shit out of them. Because I feel like that's just like that takes away from the holiday spirit.
Innocence
because it's like imagination is the most important thing a child can have. Like that's the part of their creativity, their happiness and stuff. So when people come and it's like, oh, I bought these gifts, Santa didn't buy that shit. It's like, okay, like take that ignorant stuff somewhere else. Mm-hmm. It's pathetic. Cause it's like, let the kids have the joy. Cause when they go to school, they gonna tell their friends that too. My mommy says Santa's not real. My daddy says Santa don't exist. They bought me these gifts. And then all the other kids gonna go home, start asking their parents, well, mommy, why'd you lie to me? Kids are smart. Like, I feel like it's just ignorant to do that. Once they get a certain age, we all know.
Then
like,
you could give them the option. And let them know what's like, you know, different religions and all that other stuff.
I'm like,
stuff.
I don't know Santa Claus going coming down chimney. Here. I used to see my parents wrapping my gifts, but I was still so excited because my mom always instilled the Santa Claus, this and that, and the third. It's nice. It's nice to have that.
So, what's good? Since we in the holiday spirit, you know, we got some holiday drinks. Who you drinking and what we toasting to?
Man, you know, I'm saying stuff.
What's
man.
Up?
You know, we ain't saying their name, so they cut the check.
Yeah, they gotta cut the check.
Checks, man. I'm not saying nothing.
What's the advice this week, bro?
What's the advice? Year, what we toasting to?
This week, we'll be we toasting to, okay, right? Going into 2022.
Okay.
I want us to stop making excuses, man. I want people to stop making excuses because everyone, like, we're all up here and we have disabilities and we have, you know, like, things that we feel like at first we probably couldn't do and stuff like that, but I just feel like going into next year, I just don't want anyone to make an excuse because at the end of the day, someone took your same situation and made something of it. You get what I'm saying? Like, so stop making excuses, stop wallowing in self-pity and get up and get to it, you know, and just go for it. Whatever it is that you want to do in life, just go for it and stop making excuses. Don't make any excuses and that's it. That's all I really want
to
say. So
let's toast to that.
Let's toast to that. No more excuses.
No excuses in 2022. Go for it.
2022.
Yeah,
so, yeah. All right, so now let's get into it. What is the Frenchy facts of the week?
Oh man,
let us know.
Honestly,
what's up?
The French facts, because like I said, I'm very big on holidays. So this week, I just wanted us, because we know we do it at the end briefly about like just positive stuff in this. I wanted to talk about the importance of a support system and how everybody needs a person, because in this day and age, so many people are so introverted and depressed and going through anxiety and dealing with different mental illnesses and just trust issues and stuff. Nobody trusts anybody anymore. Nobody believes in the power of friendship. I see so many people say, I don't got no friends. If you got too many friends, you fake.
It's they
like,
brag on
when
it,
did it
right?
become real to not for nobody to like you or want to be around you? It just seems like miserable. And I honestly can say I'm grateful for every last person that I have in my life, because I'm careful with them. Like, I know it's different friends for different reasons. You know what I mean? Different people, different times. And I learned this year not to mix friends. You know what I mean? So I've been having a pretty peaceful life with the people that I have in my life, not just friends, family as well. Because when I grew up, it used to be, you know, family used to come over every weekend. We used to have Sunday dinners together. Now it's no more of that. And now I have my child, and it's like, how do I explain to him? Like, okay, these are your cousins, but you're never going to see them because our family can't get it together. You know what I mean? And it's just so, it's not the holidays anymore. Like, it's like you literally just start your own little family and then things go on from there. But the way I want things, I want family, I want friends to just be big on friendships, big on family again. Like, it's nothing wrong with that. We all have our differences. Nobody is going to like each other 24/7.
Yeah.
But sometimes you have to say, you know what, this is you today. This is not you every day. This might have been a moment for you. And take accountability when you do people wrong or when you do hurt someone's feelings. And then move on from it. Don't go telling the next person, like, oh, this person did this to me, da-da-da-da-da. Now the whole family know, or the whole friend group knows what this person did to you. And instead of you just going to them, and the problem could have been so minuscule, now it's something much bigger. And then it's an ignorant thing. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and especially in a lot of, like, because I'm black, so I don't really know how other races and ethnicities, like, handle each other. But from what I see, like, Spanish people, they family, they still do big family stuff. White people, they still do big family stuff. Chinese people, you know what I mean? Like, these people fly out during the year to go see their family. They go to different countries. There's people wishing they could be with their families. There's people in the army that want to come home for Christmas, but they're too busy protecting America than to even have the time to do it. So it's like, the things that we should be grateful for, you can't buy them. You can't go out and pick them. Like, be grateful for the people that you have in your life. Your mother may have pissed you off last year, and you might not like her attitude. Forgive her. Forgive your father. Forgive your sister. Forgive your cousin. Forgive your best friend. Life is too short. So many people are dying. So many people are killing themselves just because they feel like they can't go to anybody. Like, get back in the spirit of love. Like, my grandmother always says this, get back in the business of love. And that's all I wanted French Facts to be about today. Just get back to the spirit of love and just peace, like happiness. Like, it's okay to be happy. It's okay to trust people. It's okay to love people. Life is inevitable. It's bound. You're bound to get hurt. But that shouldn't stop you from loving again. That's it. And that's the French facts.
Okay. I have a question. Can you create your own support system?
Yeah. Because you have a choice. You get what I'm saying? Like, you have a choice. You see who supports you. It's common sense.
What if you're a guarded individual?
If you're guarded, then you have to learn to let your guard down, because this people are not going to want to keep trying to break that wall down. If every time I come to you and I'm trying to be open with you and you're just like, nah, I'm okay. Nah, I'm good. I'm going to stop asking you eventually. And you
what
can't
if they're
be
guarded from being hurt by the support system that they thought they had?
And that's because you're not allowing yourself to get... I never allow what one person did to me to affect how I look at everybody, because that's only going to leave you miserable. That other person that did you wrong is nonsense out of tune, has moved moved on, has did something else with their life, and they made their own new friends that they're fucking over or whatever, and you still stuck in that past hurt. You understand what I'm saying?
I feel like people are disappointed. They get disappointed only when like you put expectations on other people.
You can't put expectations.
You can't put
on other
people. You got to learn to love people and like people for who they are.
That's
and accept people for who they are. When people show you who they are, then that's it.
Believe
you know?
Them.
Believe them and understand them for who they are. Don't put any more expectation on them than you know what you see.
But let's get into Corey.
Get into our guest. What's up, Corey?
How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
How are you?
This week was it was rough for me, but at the end it was good. You know, it was real good.
Do you want to share?
Elevators were out. You know, so.
Yeah, there's a problem.
So let's talk about that,
six
right?
Six trains to get home all week. So
let's talk about how that is a problem right there, right? Mm-hmm. So you need to get to point A to point B, but that elevator at that station is broke. Now you have to go behind whatever you're doing. You have to stop whatever you're doing, and it's an inconvenience. Like, how do we work around that system? What do you believe like is the best thing to fix that?
Honestly, advocacy, you know, for like getting things, you know, more efficient as far as repairs. Because I mean, some elevators, I'm starting to realize now that some of them aren't even like maintenance by the MTA. They're like privately maintenance. And I guess those contracting companies, for whatever reason, might not do the maintenance right away. Okay. So you'll see, like, they're like, oh, check online and make sure the elevator's up, you know? Mm. It'll say, oh, it's expected to be fixed on Monday. And that was supposed to be last Monday.
Yeah, and that
you
should
know?
Still be broken. I've
yeah,
seen that.
Yeah, yeah, you know, it's still broken today.
So
you know?
You don't have accessorize?
I'm not gonna use that. Everyone that I've heard that uses it, like I signed up for it, I've never used it. Everyone's like, accessorize, you know? Like,
so I have a solution. Somebody that we all work with, her name is Dr. Nicole Thomas. She started a program for people with disabilities to get transportation. It's called ABC Transportation. Okay. And they provide services for the disabled to get to and where you want to go. And all you have to do is call the day before, like you would do a accessorize. And this is a Black-owned business and everything, nice. So you'll be supporting Black. She's efficient. She gets the job done, and she'll make sure your ride is there on time. For a small fee, it's the same way as if you're taking it all through New York, but it's accessible, and it's quick, and it's fast, and it's efficient.
It's not just for only us. It's for anybody that has any disability,
and it goes to your insurance. You know what I mean? So you don't even have to, like, if you want to go somewhere, you want to go, like, on a outing or something like that, but like appointments and stuff, physical therapy and stuff, is covered through your insurance. So you can definitely reach out. I'll give you the link for that. Right. But it's ABC Transportation, and you can follow that on IG, and then all the steps are there.
That's a fact. And y'all still got to fix the MTA shit, because that shit is annoying. And
this
is,
that's,
you know what I mean? We got to fix that.
But no, accessorize, now they're giving cabs and stuff, so you better take advantage of that. Okay, nice. Yeah, I've been getting cabs everywhere. I've been taking a cab here. Shout out to y'all. Nice. All right. Better try it out while they got it.
But so I first met Corey a year ago, right? How long ago was your injury?
Probably about a year ago, yeah.
A year ago, right? And what struck me was how positive he was, right? Mm-hmm. Usually, you know, when you go to the mentorship programs in Mount Sinai or somebody reach out to you, everybody's like really depressed and like down.
Yeah.
But as soon as I came in his room, he was just, yo, like, what's up? Like, you see what I'm saying? Like, he wasn't down or nothing. I think it was like, you was like researching stuff about like the spinal cord and stuff like that. And I'm like, yo, wow. And I told you right there, I'm like, yo, you're really strong. Your outlook on everything right now is very positive. And I commend you, because I'm like, this is like a rare occasion. Like, you're 10 steps ahead of the normal person that's newly injured and shit like that, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yo, like, to see what you're doing now, it doesn't shock me, because off the gate, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You just, yeah, I'm going to just get stuff done. I'm going to still live my life. Like, you're taking a train right away. You know how long it takes somebody with a disability in a wheelchair to just go into the train?
Yeah.
Some people don't even go there.
It took me years to get on the train after. Yeah.
The $1 million question is, I'm sure all I guys want to know, what happened to you?
Yeah.
All right. So about a year ago, October 25th of last year, I was riding my bicycle, going to brunch.
A regular bike.
Yep. I was on a track bike, so no brakes. Mm. A little dangerous, but and normally I'm a very aggressive rider. It's a calm ride.
It has no brake.
Yeah, it's a fixie, a track
I'm
bike.
I'm not an avid biker.
It's fine.
I've only stole bikes in the hood. I don't
So yeah, track bikes or fixies, the gear, it's just
so
one speed.
So how do you stop? You put your foot down.
You got to pedal backwards.
You just slam into a wall or something, probably.
Yeah,
you just slam into a wall.
Flintstone, which
is basically what happened. You know.
Exactly. What happened?
So I was riding real calm ride Sunday morning, afternoon, going to brunch, and a parked car popped the door open. just enough to catch my handlebars. Mm. Slammed into that, fell into the street, and the SUV behind me ran over me.
Mm. What the fuck?
Yeah. Mm. Basically severed my spine at L2, L3.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It severed it?
Yeah, completely. Incomplete, actually, because it started to heal.
So it didn't sever it?
It was, my spine was like this.
So it like
it was completely,
it completely separated?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was completely separated.
And it started healing?
Yeah, they told me I'd never move my legs again. Nothing below my waist would work.
God got your back.
Yeah, came out of surgery. First thing I noticed was that I was able to lift this leg up, my right leg, for a little bit. Yeah.
Whoa! Oh, hey, whack me down. Oh, hey, another one. You doing tricks now. Wait, hold on, homie. Just like, allow me cheat. What's going on?
I want to extend it. Kick somebody in the ass.
I played kickball or some shit.
I was declared T12, and then like 4 years later, they diagnosed me L1.
That nigga's L7. Low. What the fuck is going on?
French eat something low.
Let me do a second a little bit. What we doing? So, started getting this back. How long did it take?
It started coming back pretty quick. I mean, Mount Sinai, where I did my recovery, they're really good. Mm-hmm. I mean, my physical therapist.
Who's your physical therapist?
Nick Menente. He works at Mount Sinai. He's really good. He really he really pushed me. You know, I mean, there was times that I was like. Cause like you can't feel nothing, you know. It's like you don't see it coming back. You just don't. But they're like, listen, like keep working at it. You know, you're gonna get what you're gonna get, but all you can do is give yourself the best opportunity.
Try to get the most that you can get.
You know, give yourself the best opportunity. Work your hardest, whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, and I remember being in rehab. You know, the first time like they stood me up after being in the trauma unit for like 2 weeks. First time they like sat me up, blood pressure dropped. I got dizzy. I fell over. Don't stand me up no more.
Nigga said, I'm good.
Don't ever stand me up again. I'm good, you know? I just kept pushing, you know, and yeah.
So this is a year
quick question.
Later.
Yeah. Can you feel?
I'm getting a sensation back. Yeah.
Ow.
Yeah.
You can feel that?
Yeah. It's coming.
I felt that shit. Ouch. I'm going to say it for him. Ouch.
That's the ageless test. I got you right now.
I'm mad at him. Like, damn, that is like a good one.
You got to slap niggas' legs and think about the
other. All right. So if you're looking away and someone touches right here, you can feel it.
Yeah, yeah.
I
can't.
You wanna do it? Let's do it. I'm gonna do it.
Nah, let's do it throughout the show so he don't even know.
I'm gonna do it.
Alright. I feel that.
Oh,
wait,
that's crazy.
Up here.
Nah, he
okay, wait.
That's crazy.
He's not lying.
Right here.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I'm out here.
You're gonna be walking soon. I promise you. I remember I said that shit. Because when you start walking, give me some money.
I got you.
I promise you, you're gonna be walking within 2 years. Yeah. Because you already got this much
gotta
back
claim
within
it.
A year. Because you get the most back within the first 5 years. I'm telling you. Because everybody looks at me like I'm crazy. I bullshitted when I first got. Because my injury was low too, and I could have got a lot back. But I bullshitted. Mm-hmm. I wanted to have fun. I wanted to have party, sex, and drugs.
I still do that.
You're going to physical therapy, right?
Yeah.
What you have to do. You're in sports. Jesse told me you're active. Mm-hmm. Keep working out. I bet you.
Oh, yeah. You got to keep on going.
And do all of that. Do the rewalk program. Did you hear about that?
No, because actually I've been working on transitioning out of my chair. Like I'm using crutches and stuff with braces.
He's about to walk. Did you see his foot move?
Yeah, he said, nigga, I'm doing it.
He's out here. He's going to work.
Jesse always must be about to start running track.
That's a blessing, though.
That's a start.
But you're trying to be completely spacked. You're trying to be severed, and then now you're about to start. Yeah. That's dope as fuck.
But your spinal cord wasn't injured. It was just
It was literally right below my spinal cord.
And injury is level. So
that's
what
it was.
Yeah. That's why he's able.
And that's why every injury is different, right? Because his spine was different. But see, my spinal cord got cut.
Yeah.
It cut the water. It cut the water.
It cut the water off.
You know what I'm saying? So that's why I say you can never compare one, two injuries. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know,
it cut my
Lamar
can't stop the rain.
It can't stop the rain. Word. So it's like you never can compare two injuries. But you know what also helps is your mindset and your positive. And because a lot of people would have the same type of injury and would not get that far. Because I know people that, you know, that could stand up and, you know, They don't push themselves in therapy, right? Because I know in my head, I'm like, yo, if I had the same type of injury, I'd be doing kick, you know what I mean? Because it's my mindset. Mm-hmm. So it's good that you took what you have and you keep on working on it, right? Mm-hmm, right. What makes you so positive, though? Like, what? How's your outlet like this?
Honestly, what's kept my mind, aside from my support group, which is so big and so, like, you know, they're there, you know?
You have a good support
group. Yeah, yeah, there's that. But also, I practice Buddhism.
Okay.
And so there was a time when I was just laying there and all I could do was practice, you know? So that got me to a place of acceptance where I was, you know, and just a place of not looking back at what I've lost, but at what I still have and what's to come. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I mean, that was a big hit for me because prior to my accident, my career was contracting. I had my own contracting company. You know,
so it was a very physical.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I was carrying, you know, 2x4s with all this, you know, sheetrock, doing full renovations, tearing down brownstones all over Brooklyn. You know,
and money.
Yeah, but that money.
Yeah, so like, I mean, I was literally laying in the ICU, taking calls from clients saying, like, listen, job's not gonna happen right now. You know?
Did they think that like a building fell on you or something?
No. I mean, they didn't know for a couple of weeks what actually happened. I just like postponed everything and just wanted to like.
Because you really didn't know like how fast you were going up or down.
That or just like figuring out the logistics of it. I didn't want to deal with anything. I kind of just wanted to center myself where I was. You know, I mean, there was nothing that was going to get me out, you know. So I put them on to some of my other like friends in construction to like get the work done. But after that, I told them, you know, I reached out to them when I was out.
So your faith is what kept you going.
Yeah, for sure. Exactly.
Yeah, I remember exactly. Tina Turner did that shit.
Exactly.
That's what stopped Ike from whooping her ass.
Maybe we all need some Buddha.
I feel like God is in so many different forms and so many different people, and then we all have our own faith. But I feel like as long as people believe in something, there's always going to be a way out. Because when you believe in nothing, you've already given up on yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You allowed that to help you to pull yourself up and help you find that peace. And Buddhism, if correct me if I'm wrong, because I don't know too much about it, but it's basically mostly based off of meditation is a big part of it, right?
Yeah,
and
for
finding
sure.
Finding that center of peace and yoga and stuff like that. So that's really good.
Yeah, I need some Buddha sometimes.
So the $1 million question, can you feel your
sick? Go ahead, Frenchie, get them. Get them,
Frenchie. How's sex?
It's improving. It's improving. Okay. I mean, so
for man, I follow you on Instagram. Tell him the wild shit you be doing, man. He's a wild boy. He's being very calm.
No, it's coming. It's coming right now.
Drink another sip.
Go get him, love.
You know I'm the sex guru, right? So you gotta give me some tips.
All right, cool. So, what's up? Yeah, prior to my accident, I identified as polyamorous. So, you know, instead of juggling one partner, I had multiple partners.
We talked about that too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And after my injury, you know, I was definitely out of commission for sure. I mean, all I was really getting from that was pain. You know, it was like static. You know, like static. There was no kind of like reaction like while I was in the hospital. Every day I asked my doctor, yo, is it ever gonna come back? You know, like you know, like my tongue game is strong, but you know, probably won't get like that, you know,
did that change your mindset about poly before being injured? You'd be like, oh, maybe I should stick to one person, or
no,
did that change?
No, because
good question.
I'm also kind of like into different types of kinks. So
I think we all kinky.
Yeah,
we all got a kinky song. You
everyone's
know what I mean?
Got something they like. Yeah. You know?
So what's your kink?
My biggest thing is shibari, right? So that's rope work, bondage.
Ooh, I always want to try that.
Maybe I need some shibari tonight. When you watching this, I need some shusha.
Which actually,
I need some shibari, shushabob, and all that.
You know,
so maybe a shushabob, bitch.
Word. Yeah. So I was a rigger, which is someone who does the tying. So I used to tie a lot of my partners up. I was very into like the technicality.
Rip the ass.
You beat them? Huh?
Not really, you know.
We do that shit. He depends. Beat
depends.
Them.
If they want that, them, you know.
I'm polyamorous.
You put enough pressure on certain pressure points, and then you get real good sensations too, you know. So
So you don't like being tied up. You like to do the crime.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, things kind of changed when I got out.
Instagram about to get so crazy.
The
version
of the dominatrix, basically, pretty much.
Okay. Yeah. More of a dominant position as far as Kent goes. But, you know, when I got
You got out, my sis quiet. She learned for the first time. My sis,
never heard her.
I never heard her quiet. She about to go Wait, try check this out, shit. Check out. Go so, ahead. Frenchie so, like this.
So I had this I had this bed. It was like a canopy metal frame bed, right? Which gave me a lot of the tie points, right? And that was a lot of fun. So after I got out and I was starting to like explore, kind of get back into it, figure out what I could do. Because again, like the rest of me still wasn't working at this point, right? And I think I asked you about that while I was still in. You were like, bro, sea moss. And that was it.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, all right, whatever. So, which I've been doing. So it's been helping
and out. And eating healthy.
Oh, yeah. Definitely changed my diet a lot. But, what happened when I got out, I was experimenting, you know, and I had very, very limited mobility. I used what I knew about ropes and used it to suspend myself a little bit to kind of get myself in a position, get grab points for myself, stuff to hold on to, you know, put it around my arms to keep me up, you know.
That's one thing about being in his wheelchair. You become like crafty. Yeah, and you adapt. You learn to adapt to, you know, and find different ways to do things.
You ain't tied nobody up yet? Mr. Guru? Mr. Guru. You ain't shibari no bitch yet? You ain't out here shibaring?
Nah.
It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun.
I ain't shibari yet. I do a little
shadub.
Nah, the most I would do is little what's that? You know, you dress up and shit.
Oh, like what? Kiki and shit.
Like role play.
That's your Kiki
role play.
I like that too.
Oh shit!
I've been in the hospital so many times. I just like being a patient.
You like?
Oh yeah.
Cut the tape. Cut the fucking tape.
I like kinky shit, but I don't like too freaky shit.
All right, so what's the kinkiest shit?
I'm gonna tell you. I like freaky shit, but it's limits to my. I don't like too freaky shit where I'm uncomfortable. Like whoa, like. I like being nasty, but I think it's levels of freaky shit. Like certain shit I'm not with.
I'm already in the chair, so you ain't gonna tie me up. But like, I'm already here. That's a lot. I'm already handicapped already. You ain't tied.
I like stuff though, but not.
What's the freakiest shit you ever did?
I think that I'm not an expert, like my boy right here, but let me see. Probably, I did role play before, like dress up and stuff. Like we did that. I don't know. Maybe I'm not. It's not probably the act of stuff. It's probably like during sex, I probably get kinky. Like calling name calls. Mm-hmm. So maybe, but that's not kinky. Then I don't think. I think that's just not, like, you know, the behavior of sex when you having sex. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
I guess because
it's not a planned out thing. I never planned it out. In your case, those stuff is planned out, right?
Sure. You make me feel so inexperienced because I just feel like I need to go kinkier now because it's like I don't feel like I'm kinky.
Oh, explore.
Now. Because like
explore.
I feel like with me the craziest when it comes to sex like is like what I do. The craziest thing is the places I do it at.
Okay.
Like I've had sex at a bus stop. I've had sex in the.
Have
Uber.
You had sex on the bus?
I've had sex on an Uber, a shared Uber. Like it was people on the Uber. Like a Ben Sprinter. That was the best day ever. Like broad day. I've had sex. Like literally. Yeah. That's probably the craziest. That's. How far?
It's just the thrill more so, I guess.
It's the thrill of it. Yeah, that's what makes you come so
but
much better.
But he's talking about, that's opening Pandora's box. He's some other.
I got slapped during sex. Like, I told him to slap me, but he slapped the shit out of me. I think he was mad.
That's regular. I'm the last regular shit.
I want a shabar. I want somebody shabar me up.
I need a shabar.
I want to be shabarred. Like, shabar me, baby. The fuck?
She want to be shabar.
What do you think is shadubs? I need a
shabar.
Because it's like, honestly, in the black community, because most of my partners have been black, there's not too much kink. Like a lot of people aren't too kinky. People don't explore so much. As you know, let me fuck from bed, let me eat your ass.
Like all white people shit.
Yeah, just regular shit. Man, but I want some shabar. Yeah. I've always wanted. Ever since I've seen,
I want shabar.
Ever since I've seen 50 Shades of Grey, I've wanted to like, cause I've been with a girl before, and that was probably the. Honestly, grandma, please don't kill me. She hates, I'm sorry. But I've been with girls when I was younger and I've had orgies with girls. That's probably the craziest shit I've done. Like literally orgies with like seven bitches. And honestly, like that was honestly females, having sex with females probably the best, honestly. But that's why I stopped because it was too intriguing because I didn't like girls. Like I didn't want to be with a girl, but the sex became like.
Addicted.
Yeah. So are you? Do you identify as hetero? You know, you have to ask these days. Do you identify as heterosexual?
I feel like, yeah, I'm hetero, but like I feel like that's always a scale. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, there's like me. I've been to parties like that. You know, and I mean, I have friends that like, you know, I tell them about it. They're like, oh nah, bro. I'll be the only guy, I have like seven women. I'm like, what you gonna do with seven women, bro?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. What are you gonna do? How are you gonna please all of them?
No, we were the seven girls, we were all fucking right. each other. That
that's
was like, it was like,
though,
a,
right?
it was like
that's
a,
different, right?
It's like
but,
a circle.
But now one guy trying to do whatever just basic dudes
to
do
one,
to seven different women, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Some of them can barely even please one.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? In that so, setting, would you be open to a guy touching you or
yeah like there's things that I'm open to I don't get like too intimate with like men but
because it's not your thing it's just like a kink it's not so much of a preference
yeah I'm very much a like live in the moment kind of guy so if I'm there you know but yeah I've had a lot of different experiences gone to a lot of parties
so what's your craziest experience in the chair,
man. Okay, in the chair. They haven't gotten too crazy because I've been more like
reserved.
Not really that. Just more exploring with my partner, trying to figure out like what works for me, and, like what works for them. You know, it's been like finding things.
Your comfort range,
you know.
And that's very normal. Because
you know, yeah,
that's
you know, find out what I'm comfortable with, what they're comfortable with. You know, things
you
like that.
To get your ass ate?
I mean, it's fun, you know. I haven't done it since my injury because you know that's not.
You don't want to make the wrong move.
You know, I don't want the muscles to not work.
Yeah. You know? What about y'all?
I'm Jamaican.
I never. Yeah.
That's my answer to everything. I'm Jamaican.
Yo, the sex guru is out here getting like, sex guru.
You can't kill right now, sex guru.
This is sex guru.
That's why I never get a title I don't like. You know what I'm saying? I'm cool with my title. You know what I'm saying?
He got the crown,
he took
baby.
That shit. This motherfucker in here. He was some Christian Grey shit.
That's what's up. So, like, also, so just being, I'm adapted to a new experience, right? Mm-hmm. And just, you know, how everybody perceives you so different now. Do you feel like everything you thought how society treat people with disabilities. Have you ever thought about how society treated people with disabilities? And do you have a different way of thinking about that now?
Absolutely. Yeah, okay. For sure. I mean, I always thought, you know, like, I mean, I always did my best to respect people, you know, who were disabled, you know, disabled or not, you know, just to respect individuals. But I always felt like, you know, not knowing everyone's case, you know, they would dump me with a short end of the stick and probably, you know, people don't really treat them the best. But I mean, since I've been in my chair, you know, my personal experience, I've seen the better side of people. You know, I get to be people's good deed for the day. Which is fine. You
we're
know?
Wolf's charity's case.
yeah, it's not as the outside world. Their perception of me wasn't as negative as I thought it would be. You know,
that's a different
also,
one. I never really heard anybody.
Yeah, I definitely got a better experience. I also didn't stay in the house long. I mean, once I got out of rehab, I think I left
streets.
The crib all after right. like a week.
You rode that bike again?
Soon, I might. Well, that bike, no, that bike is done.
That bike is dead.
That bike is done. You know,
and
but,
that's why I told Frenchie and Live. I was like, you know,
you want some more?
Yeah, what impressed me about you was like. Like I said, it's really rare what you're doing. Like as soon as you got injured, you was just right back outside and experiencing life.
Was,
and you know what I mean. And you
my
just
first day outside was a day outside.
Like, all right, tell us about the experience. How was what happened?
So yeah, it was about maybe a week and a half after like returning home. My mother was in town from Vegas. She lives on the West Coast.
She lives in Vegas.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was staying with my aunt, who's also a physician. So I had like a good, you know, someone who's knowledgeable about like, you know, like my recovery a little bit, you know, stay in the house, rest, you know, you're a little weak. You just got the hospital, you know,
like, no, bitch, I'm in these streets.
It's a cold world out there. You know, as soon as no one was watching me, I bounced. I was outside. The nearest accessible station to where I was staying was about like just over half a mile away. I hadn't pushed more than the length of a hallway at this point, but I was like, fuck it. I'm gonna keep pushing. Eventually, I'll get there. You know, I don't know how long it's gonna take, but I'm gonna get there. You know, because now my arms are doing the work of my legs, plus like what 30 pounds, 40 pounds.
Yeah.
So you know, I pushed myself there. my destination was my first day of fencing practice, actually. My best friend, who's a fencer, not a para fencer, like he stands and regular stuff. But he was like, yeah, whenever you're ready, you know, the fencing club's ready for you, you know, come out. And it was just like, I was never one to stay in the house. I hated staying in the house. So as soon as like I got that window, I was gone. You know, it was a chilly day. It was the last day of January, so going into February. So this was like the second week of February, probably. So it was pretty cold. If you know New York in February, it's literally the worst month to be out.
No, for real.
You know, so it was cold, whatever. I wasn't used to the cold because I was in the hospital.
How long were you in the hospital?
I was in ICU for 16 days, and then I was at Mount Sinai for 2.5 months. The reason why it extended so long was because they had to do multiple surgeries. So I didn't have like a release date, so they were done with all the surgeries. So it was that. I finally got out. You know, I was on the train. It was my first time on the train. Very new experience.
At least you didn't have to ask for a seat.
Yeah, exactly. It was funny because as soon as I got on, the person sitting there like jumped like they were going to move and give me the seat. I was like, I brought my own seat. You know, you can have that one. Did that. I didn't know about the boarding area. So I like pulled myself in the train. And then when I got to 34th Street, Penn Station, I went to roll out the train. I didn't look that it was a gap. And I rolled out the train. It's just straight up. Yeah.
But you fell face forward?
Yeah, face forward.
That's a and fucking then, day.
Someone your behind me was able out? To like flip me up. You know, I got up.
Oh, you had your seatbelt on?
Yeah, of course. Oh, of course. Okay. Yeah, for sure.
Make sure you put your seatbelt on.
You know, that seatbelt to take you out because now the chair falling on top of you. Yeah.
Fuck the seatbelt. But he didn't fall. You didn't, that's why it prevented you from not just falling.
Right. Out. I was able to catch myself. Someone helped me back up. I got off the train. I was good.
You
I come out the station.
Knee?
Nah, I didn't have a sensation back yet.
Thank God.
But yeah, facts. But I got out the station. By the time I came out the station, it was raining. All right. Yeah. So I got caught in the rain.
It was cold and raining.
Yeah, it's cold.
That was a rough day.
It was a long
That was a long ass day. I can't imagine.
Curb cuts, you know, another thing in the city that needs to be fixed.
Yes.
Some little ramps.
Right.
You know, I was shooting down. The fencing club was on at the time was on 28th Street between like 7th and 8th.
Okay.
So I was racing down 8th Ave. Went down a curb cut. A little puddle.
Did it again, huh?
I assumed there was a street there. There wasn't. Down. Did it again.
You
straight
fell
up.
Again.
Straight up.
Yeah. Right, I would have went to sleep after that.
I would have went home. I would have called my mom. Mom, you're that right.
Cried.
I should have stayed in the house.
This is it.
That's some shrimp shit. You didn't break down?
Nah. I mean, I was like, listen, I'm already out here. Mm-hmm. I'm already soaked. You know, I can sit here and cry about it.
Yeah, I need to be Buddhist. Going. That's right. A different level of peace.
Those days make you stronger. Those days make the other days feel like.
But that's his first day. That takes some shrimp to endure. That's some real deep.
But that one, because it wasn't as, like with the train, my wheels were still up on the platform. So it was like, I was really forward. This one, I caught myself and someone was like coming across the street to help me. But I was able to kind of like get myself back up on my own. So I was like, cool. You know, like the first time is going to be the hardest.
Yeah, always.
You know, every time the first time is the hardest. I was like, cool. Like, I know I have that capability now, you know? So I felt a lot more confident. Yeah. You know, and like that's when it was like, you know, like I'm not out here being neglected, you know, like people are seeing, you know, and people want to help. Not everyone does, but people want to help.
Yeah.
You know,
the right people going to help.
Like you know, got back up, got to the fencing club, soaked, you know, a little scraped up. And I was like, I'm here, you know, so did that. It was a great day. And my best friend was there. And, you know, we like went have food after. And that led me into fencing, you know.
Cool. Nice. And then now, like I said, let's get into the fencing thing, right? Because that's something like your face lit up when you start talking about fencing.
Yeah, man, that's
Is the goal? What do you want to take
on? The Olympics? You plan on?
Yeah. So the goal right now is the 2024 Paralympics.
Okay.
So fencing, I was really into it as a kid. Like, not that I participated in it, but I was really interested in it. Right. I saw it in James Bond. Right. There was a scene where like they were settling the beef on a fencing strip in a mansion. I was like, you know what? I know I'm gonna be rich one day.
Is that a rich sport? Because you don't see black kids like, normally.
So,
it's
an expensive sport. It's an expensive sport, and it's a very niche sport. So like you won't really be exposed to it at most high schools. You know, not like you would football or baseball. You know, so it's something that you really have to look for. And then the places that do offer it, you know, they're expensive or they're not There's not that many of them, so they might be far away. You know, like for me, like the ones that are affordable were just too far to travel, you know? So I never really got into it. I wanted to get into it in college, but I studied engineering. So studying engineering, you don't have time for really any sports, unfortunately. So, you know, every time I wanted to, I couldn't. And then I took on a friend who was a fencer, which is great, you know, and over quarantine, when the fencing club closed and he was just like practicing at home, I was like, yo, train me. And then, you know, we could just go at each other, you know? Mm. So we both got someone to practice with. You know, I could say I'm fencing with an Olympian, you know? So we were gonna do that. I actually got into multiple different accidents last year. Just accidents. Like most of them on my bike. Mm-hmm. But so last year, June, I broke my foot. So that delayed fencing for about 2-3 months.
Because you're a hand cycler, right?
Well, I'm a hand cycler now after my injury. But that, I was just like that.
Oh,
I was,
you're talking about before
this
you
This is prior,
okay,
yeah.
Okay.
So this is my...
I forgot, like, you're only in a year.
Yeah, this is my most recent. Yeah, this is my most recent injury.
Okay.
But I broke my foot, had surgery on that.
That's what he's telling us. He likes to do a lot
he
of
He likes things. To try to kill himself.
For sure.
If it doesn't make him almost die, he doesn't
He said it doesn't count. Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so that...
You have to break something.
That put me down for a little bit. And then I was coming out of that, you know, and I started getting ready. I'm like, all right, I'm going to start buying equipment, whatever. Then I got hit by a car going home late night, and that dislocated my collarbone. So that wasn't even this one. Mm-hmm. I was on my bike going home, like 3 a.m. A car blew through a stop sign.
God was trying to tell you something. You're going to keep riding.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry, Buddha was trying to tell you you're going to keep riding these motherfucking bikes. Sit your ass down.
Yeah, facts.
The signs was right there. Yeah.
It was, and I was not listening.
Do you have a hard relationship, bad relationship with bikes? How do you feel about bikes?
Apparently.
To be honest.
When you finish with this shit, you start walking again.
Do not get on that bike.
Uber. If I'm going to be completely honest, I was looking at bikes last week.
Oh, my God.
Not
if you fuck this. Listen.
Don't fuck this up, man. You got some good legs now, man.
You got some nice good legs, man.
Come on,
son. Ride back on that fucking bike. Just ask.
I'm not gonna ride in New York City no more. Don't worry.
Okay.
It's just for it's this bike that I've always wanted. It's like a classic bike. It's like not even a racing bike, but it's a bike that I've always like loved.
Get it, man.
And I just want to hang it up, you know?
So,
because like biking was a big part of my life.
My question for you is, okay, because there's a lot of people that reach out to us and they're new in their injury. Mm-hmm. Like, what advice would you give to someone that's newly injured and feeling down and looking at life like it's over?
You really got to dig deep and find that positivity. You know, it's hard work, but you know, doing stuff with a negative mindset is only gonna allow you to do it half-assed, you know? Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you're all in, you gotta be all in for yourself. You know, you gotta find that positivity. You gotta, you know, and it's gonna be hard, but it's there. You know, mm-hmm. you gotta look at, you know, what you still can do. You gotta look at what you have waiting for you at home, you know, and you gotta look at your support system, you know? Mm-hmm. 'Cause sometimes people outside of you are gonna believe in you when you don't, and you need them, mm-hmm. you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what my support system was. That's what my physical therapist was, my occupational therapist. You know, like they were really like, you know, those days, there weren't many of them, I'll be honest, but those days when I was really just like, I don't want to do this, you know, they were like,
he pushed you.
Come to the gym anyway. We want to see you. Mm-hmm. You know, come hang out with us. And I was like, you know, hardest part of going to the gym is getting there, right?
No,
and it was down the hall for me. So I didn't really have a choice.
But I'm telling you, check out ABC if you don't want to do accessory, because you can have both.
Yeah.
I would say sign up for both, because those days when you just really don't feel like getting on them trains, because when it gets cold, you don't want to, like, the freezing cold, the snow and stuff, you still want to be able to do what you want to do. At least try the ABC, and if that's not for you, try accessoride and see what you can do, because they're sending cabs out.
Yeah, I'm going to try those for sure.
And ABC is definitely a cab service, so you'll be fine with that.
Nice. Yeah. I'm going to check those out this week, because I'm sure those elevators are still out.
Yeah. and when the wintertime comes, listen, the MTA, you guys have to do better with
gotta
that.
Gotta do better, man.
And the only way we can help that is if we complain enough, if they hear enough of our mouths. And you know, even if you don't take the train, think about the people that do take the train that still need your help. We all need to be a part of this. This is a problem with when people say they're a disabled advocate. You're only advocating for yourself, then you're not an advocate. You know what I mean? You're a self-advocate if you do that. Mm. If you say you're a disability advocate, that means for blind, deaf, mentally challenged, physically, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Physically incapable of doing things. You have to advocate for everybody that's in that. So we have to help those, even with the problems that we're not having to face. Mm-hmm. Even if your problem isn't the elevator, help those people that are. Complain mm-hmm. about it. Write these letters. Mm-hmm. Sit there. They need to see this stuff. They need to see it so that they understand this is serious. We need elevators. We don't have these options. Mm-hmm. We don't want to have to turn around or get off the train, right. go to a whole nother stop, just because the elevator is broken. And have people yeah. and I feel the way I suggest that it'll work. MTA, you are a $1 billion company. Hire people, have engineers on site at all times. Elevator engineers need to be there 24/7, 24 hours. If MTA is 24 hours, billions have of dollars. That there.
And it's a money maker. Well, business.
I think that's why they contracted some of the elevators out to independent companies.
Because they don't want
to. They don't want
to
take.
You know, out. Because then this way they don't have to worry about servicing everything. Mm-hmm. But now these companies aren't answering. You know, yeah, there's yeah. no way to contact them directly. You know, you have to go through MTA.
It makes sense.
And then there's all these channels to get to them, you yeah. know? So it's a system that was put in place to work, I guess, but it wasn't work. Thought out, you know? Uh-huh. There's too many channels to get through it, you know? I mean, residential elevators have a number in there if you need service, you know? These don't. They have the elevator number, and that is on record for the MTA. And if it's not their elevator, they're like, listen, you know, it estimated to be fixed at this point. I'm like, yeah, it was estimated to be fixed 2 weeks ago. Shit.
New York City is one of the most highly populated, the richest. Number mm-hmm. one, this mm-hmm. this is the most expensive city to live in America. The most expensive city to live in America. You guys make enough money off of taxes and stuff to hire the proper companies. Because when my elevator in my building breaks, there's somebody, even housing in the projects. Mm-hmm. They'll fix it right then and there. That elevator don't be out more than 2 hours. Yeah. So why the hell are y'all got elevators out for months? If you go on websites, months. You'll see. They'll say, oh, won't be back till December 25th. Yeah. This, that, then. No.
And then you come back, the elevator's still not
yeah,
fixed.
Yeah, I used to be so it's mad. Crazy. And that shit will make you cry sometimes. Mm. It's just like, yo, you just want to get where you're going. Mm. And it's like, you know, you're used to being strong. Okay, cool. But when I just want to go, and then everybody's like, are you okay?
It's some days you had a long day.
Yeah, it's like, yo, I just want to get home because I didn't even want to take the train, but I missed this and that. I just want to go home, and then somebody's, are you okay? No, bitch, I'm not okay. I want to go the fuck up these stairs.
Yeah.
So fix that, MTA. Fix Thank that. You, yeah. ASAP.
So we always get asked a question, and today's question is, what do we do on our dark days? When no one's there, we're just by ourselves and our thoughts, what do we do? How do we cope with those days? You want to answer? You want to go first? Yeah, I guess.
Nah. You know, I'll wait. Y'all go.
Okay, so I'll go because they always make me fucking. On my dark days, I stay to myself, you know, and I call the people that I know will give me sound advice. I call my cousin, my mom, or my dad, or my grandma. You know, I try not to call people that I don't want, because I know everybody's not strong enough to deal with my problems. I'm the person people usually call, you know? Mm-hmm. So I try to like hold things into myself because I know everybody's going through something. So I'll call, I know my mom, first of all, I'm her kid, so she gonna listen to me. She put me here, I ain't asked to be here, so I don't care. Mm-hmm. I call my mama no matter what. But my cousin, I will say my cousin Africa, that's my favorite. Not my favorite. I have a lot of favorite cousins.
He's about to get
I'm about to get trouble. Out, but you know, Africa, that's my older cousin, and I'll call her and she gives you the most like dopest advice. Like that's somebody that'll sit there and cry with you. You know what I mean? And she listens and she helps me, because when I get off the phone with her, it's like, you know, she's like, you okay? And she won't hang up. Mm. Like we'll be on FaceTime and she won't hang up until she knows like
they need people
I'm
like
okay.
That.
And then number one, for the last 2 years, I just look at my son. Because he'll look at me and he'll be like, mommy, you cry? Because now he understands these things. So I just be like, no, baby, I'm not crying. I'm laughing. And he'd be like, I love you. You know, for my baby to acknowledge that and see that, that's the best feeling. Like, children are such blessings. Like, my baby is everything. And I thank God for him every day, because he's literally that light in that darkness for me. Like, he pulls me right out. Because it's like, all right, you gotta snap out of it. It's like, all right,
can't be in there too long.
This little boy looking up to you, he need happiness. I don't want him to be raised around misery or depression. Yeah. So I look to him and I get better. What do you do?
So me,
take drugs?
No, I don't take drugs. That's me. It's crazy because, you know, I don't know. Like I said, I don't really have those bad days. But when I do, I try to, and I ain't going to lie, because I'm always positive. I barely have those days. No, I'm just saying, I'm about to say with the days I do have bad, though. So the days when it is bad, I soak in it. Because, like, I allow myself to have those days. Even though it suck, because those days be bad, because most of the days is really positive and I'm doing my things. But I kind of soak in it, and I'm like, and I just, that day is done out for me. Like, I'm not going to try to force anything. Whatever's going on, I'm just going to just crash that day. I'm like, I'm just going to give this day up.
So what does your soaking consist of?
Just
self-loathing.
No. That day is consists of like understanding. Yeah, I'm still in the wheelchair. Shit is gonna suck. Like sometimes in my mind, I'm like, yo, I'm doing so much things and I'm out there, like, you know, being positive and moving how I move. I really forget sometimes there is disadvantage in doing certain things. And I'm like, oh, it's a right to have this fucking day. And I'm going to call, I'm not doing nothing for the rest of the day. Like, that's it. I'm not, because that shit sucks. The day when it, you know, those days when it's real, it just comes at you like fast. Like, oh, shit.
Out of nowhere.
You're like, damn. And there's nothing you could do. So you just got to, you know, give it to the day and be like, all right, and just try again the next day, and the next day be better. But those days I kind of do like, all right, let me just, I kind of appreciate the day where it's like, all right, because most of my days is very positive. I'm like, all right, this is finally, this is a real thing. Like, I can't be positive all the time. So yeah. I got to accept the negative thing too. You know what I mean? This has come from a real positive person. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so, you sometimes you just so, yeah. This motherfucker right here. But, drives me crazy with this positivity shit. Sometimes, like, nigga, this is real life. Nigga, it gets hard.
But so those days, like when it's hard and shit like that, when it comes though, everybody, I think we all come and be like, yo, yeah, that's. And then when I feel like when those days come, it's like it's mad shit on top. It's like it's a whole bunch of stuff that keeps on piling. So I'm like, I just like, all right, I'm cool. Like this, is, I just give up on the day and just like, all right, go, you know, just chill. Mm-hmm. So that's what I do.
What you do, love?
Man, I do a number of things. Some days, like, it depends on how bad it is. Some days I have some days where I just don't know what I'm feeling. I don't know. I'm just like, what the hell?
You're just there.
Yeah, I'm just there. I'm like, what the hell? Yeah, it's existing. But, and when I have those days, that's when I realize, like, all right, I understand. I'm like, okay, this is one of those days, right? And then I understand I control. I'm in control, right? So I just tell myself, like, I start playing some music or something. I do something subtle, like go to the bathroom. I see myself in the mirror. I just start dancing.
I look good.
I do some silly shit and I start smiling. And that'll change the whole momentum of the day. It'll change everything in the day.
That's what happens when you're a retard going through things.
You know, it'll change everything in the day, like for real. So it's either that, right? Yeah, that's one of the things I do. If I wake up and I realize like, damn, I'm having like a day sucks, another bad day. I go to the gym. Okay. I work out. I'm saying I get some. I get myself to moving around. I'm saying, and as I'm doing that, you know, I'm listening to music. That shit is changing my mood. It's changing me. It's making me like I'm turning into something else, right? And then another thing is just simply just playing music. I start cleaning up the house, playing music, different songs. You know what I'm saying? Like that shit just make
music
my music. Yeah,
it's therapy.
It is definitely therapy. So that, and if it's really bad, like you know, but on my good days too, on a regular day, I play some TD Jakes. I'm very spiritual.
But on your worst day, what do you do? Like you, everything you just said?
I get to pray. Yeah, everything. I swear, it's a number of them. It's
got to be a conceited motherfucker to look in the mirror and feel good. Like, after you go into some shit.
Nah,
like, hey,
I'm having a bad motherfucking day. I look good.
I don't know. It's just the energy. I look and just, I hate seeing myself. I'm like, yo, I just look at myself and I'm like, what the fuck is snap? Yeah, it's that, bro. It's like,
what do you want the world to see?
Yeah, it's like, though, like.
So you don't allow yourself to go through those motions then?
I do. I understand. Okay. I sit in it and I.
That's what I do.
Like, as the day go by, it's just like, all right. Like a couple of hours ago by and I'm like, yo, what the fuck is, what are you doing, dog? Like I had to have those talks with myself and I just forced myself to do something to bring me out of that shit. I don't like you could sit there all day long, but what is it gonna change though?
Right,
you get what I'm saying? It's not gonna change anything. So, and that's my thing. I wanna get out of that shit as fast as I can, as soon as I acknowledge it. Like, you know, so that's just my thing. Once I see it, it's like, okay, I sit in it for like another hour or two. I give myself the moment, but I'm not gonna do that for a whole week. I'm not gonna do that for the whole 24 hours. I gotta do something to bring me some kind of, to make my spirit to lift it, right? So that's what I do. And I throw, like I said, I'm very spiritual, so I throw some TD Jakes on and I hear the word, I get to praying, you know what I'm saying? Whatever. Amen. Say me a good prayer before I go to bed. And the next, and I promise myself the next day, like, you know what, tomorrow's, I'm not doing this, it's gonna be. And as soon as I wake up, I'm like, let's go.
It's a new person.
It's a whole new, it's a whole new ball game. So yeah, that's my thing,
That's definitely dope. What do you do?
Me? All right, so again, I don't have a lot of dark days, but they come. Batman. They come. No, they come for sure.
The dark night.
But no, when I do have those days, I'm one that really refuses to be defeated. Like, you know, when a day gives me obstacles, I push through them and I keep it going because I'm like, all right, it's just something more for me to accomplish, you know? And I mean, I'm more so that way after my accident than I was before. Because my idea prior was like, you know, I'm just moving through life.
however I can.
Existing before now, you know? Living.
Yeah, because now it's like, all right, like this happened. It could have been way worse, way, way worse. You know, like I was run over by a
track record.
Yeah.
So, much, you know, right? I was like, there's a reason I'm still here. Mm-hmm. So like that, for example, is my first motivation. And me, like, I'll just push through the day, and staying busy keeps me from falling to the darkness. You know what I'm saying? For sure. So I keep pushing through my day, you know, regular, keep a smile on my face, you know, whether it's pretend or not, you know, but that allows other people to have good energy around me.
Wow.
And then that just puts good energy around me, you know? So a fake smile isn't always bad. You know what I'm saying? But then at the end of the day, once it's over, you know, I can evaluate. You know, I sit there, I evaluate. Because my dark days aren't that frequent, there's always a route to it, you know? Because I'm patient, you know? I, you know, if the elevator's not working, my train pulled off, I got 15 minutes for the next one, I'll throw some music on and I'm just gonna wait, you know? Which is crazy because I was always in a rush prior to my accident. Always in a rush.
Yeah, this is your patience.
You know,
this
slow you the fuck down.
But, but I was in a rush on other people's time. You know, so it's like now I'm living on my time, you know, and it's like, listen, like I don't have to rush nowhere, you know. And so that, you know, I sit there, I evaluate, I dig deep to find out the root cause of my darkness, you know, and then I attack that, like I focus on that issue. And then that takes me out of it, you know. And then also, even if I don't find the issue that night, the day's over. So no matter how bad it was, I'm home. I'm in bed, you know, got a little joint rolled up, you know, whatever, I'm chilling, you know? So it was shitty, but it passed. Like last week was terrible, but it passed, you know?
We're going to see another day.
I had a good weekend, you know? Right. So I'm back on top, you know, not that I ever came off of being on top, but.
Talk your shit, baby.
You know? That's right.
That's what's up.
You one of my favorite guests. The way that you came in here was positive.
I told you, it was shocking.
Because he reminds me of us. Yeah. It's like the way, because even so early on in our injuries, we all had this type of mindset and outlook. So it's just like the fact that you're here already is just.
Within 1 year.
You're going to do great things.
Going to do great
I'm
things.
I'm telling you.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
When you walk, DM me like, bitch, I'm up. Just say, bitch, I'm up. And I'm going to know what you're talking about. And I'm going to cry for you because that's the most beautiful thing. You're getting all of this back. And it's for a reason because, like you said, you were speeding through life for other people. Now you slowed down. You got to really see, like, this is your life that you're living for.
Now you're on your own time. That. Absolutely.
And you're doing everything on your time. So when you get back on your feet, you're going to appreciate it so much.
I'm walking your purpose, literally.
You're literally going to walk in purpose.
Right.
Yeah. Buddha has so many plans for you.
And for sure.
I'm happy for you. Right. Keep doing your thing and keep fencing. And I can't wait to see you in the Olympics.
That's fine.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you might be walking before then. You're not going to be able to do that shit. That'd be fucked up,
I mean,
right?
Don't be
cutting people up. You can walk and shit, man.
they trained while they were injured.
They're going to be tight. They see this nigga walking. Like, what am I fighting this nigga for? This fucking able body nigga.
He doing backflips and shit. What the
fuck? This nigga's a
similar to me. Some of them start training. Some of them start training while they're injured, you know, or maybe it's just the fact that whatever it is, even if like they can walk, maybe like,
but
you know,
you're gonna be in the regular Olympics one day.
I'll plan to, you know.
Yeah, don't be cheating.
I plan to.
Don't fight my people.
Yeah, you know.
You're going to go in the wheelchair still. Like, yeah, I got the advantage.
I got to get the gold medal in this shit first, you know what I mean?
I started making this joke actually very recently that, you know, 2024 the Paralympics. And then 2028, I'll do the regular Olympics.
I see. You know? I say it, you know.
So, you know.
Do it.
We'll see, you know.
It's not we'll see. You speak with intention.
But yeah, so that's kind of my goals, you know, not knowing how far recovery I'm going to get, but that's what my goal is.
That's what's
so, you know, just to give my body something to look forward to, you know.
Preach, my brother.
For sure. All right. So we always end the show on some positive, though. You know, I ended up on something positive. I feel like sometimes, and this is what we all did today, and I'm proud of us, sometimes you got to improvise, right? You got to improvise because a lot of things, it's not going to go your way, right? But sometimes what we have to do is, like, you know, slap life right in the face and like, all right.
We're gonna life
right back, slap her right in the face and be like, all right, we got to do what we got to do, and we ain't going to go and quit. And we got to improvise, you know what I'm saying? Because you could be down in the fourth quarter, but it just take one jump shot to get you back in the game. And, you know, I'm proud of us because, you know what I mean? It was a little slip up, but, you know, we still made it here, right? No matter what.
Sure.
We still, you know, we got to have all the excuses in the world, but we did it.
That's right.
And it just proves that, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes when you put your mind to something, even though some shit happens, you can improvise. You see what I'm saying?
And make the most.
And the improvisation was better than probably the regular things that we ever had. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, we thank you for coming. You know what I mean?
Thanks for having
me. This is the last episode of the year, right?
Oh, yeah, this is the last episode of the year. You know what I mean?
I just want to say, bing bong, fuck your life. Merry Christmas, motherfucker.
Merry Christmas, you filthy animals.
Happy New Year.